Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know that your heart, whether it would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through a vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Thank you, Jean. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. My name is Tim. If I've not met you before, I'm also one of the pastors here. It's great to see you this evening. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 8 this evening, which is a bit of a break from our series we've had in 1 Peter. But hopefully that'll be good for us to do as a church. But let me pray before we consider this passage together. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your living and active word that we have in our hands this evening. We pray, please, that as we consider what you have to teach us this evening, that you'd give us responsive and obedient hearts. Lord, please rebuke us and challenge us and shape us to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask these things and ask for your help this evening, that your word would come with power and deep conviction and with the Holy Spirit, that you would do a good work in each of us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we start, let me ask a question. What is the worst thing you've ever forgotten? What is the worst thing you've ever forgotten? Just have a little think. Let me give you some, I can see a few people straight away thought of something. Let me give you some options and you can kind of rate yourself. So here we go, first thing, have you ever forgotten keys for your house? Or for work. I did this recently, it's really irritating. My keys are kind of all bundled into one, so I turn up to work without the keys. It's really annoying, you can't get around the building. Other people ask for your keys. No, sorry, I don't have them. It's really frustrating. Second one, have you forgotten a special occasion? So a birthday, Some nods. Wedding anniversaries, or anniversaries. Valentine's Day. Anniversary. Thank you for your honesty, Mike. Was that recently? Just once, okay. Once is enough. Valentine's Day, if that was last week, so you've missed it, if you didn't realise, that's something you've forgotten. Have you forgotten a password for something? This is particularly annoying, isn't it? You go to log in on something and it hasn't, because we just trust, don't we, Google to remember all our passwords now, and then if it doesn't, what was it? I can't remember what it was. Parents, have you ever forgotten to collect your children from school? I'm going to take that as a yes. Teenagers, have you ever forgotten to hand in some work or to turn up to an exam? That could be a big one. Last one, have you ever forgotten to lock the toilet door? Don't need to answer that. Look, now I'm sure there's plenty of other things that we can add to the list, okay, of things that we have forgotten. But actually, Deuteronomy 8 raises the stakes on forgetfulness. So according to this passage, and what we're going to see tonight, is that the worst kind of forgetfulness is forgetting the Lord. Forgetting the Lord. Now that might seem like a strange thing to say, or even an obvious thing to say, but there is a very real danger for God's people to forget the Lord, to kind of slip into self-reliance. We live in a very individualistic society. It's a very me culture, which Jonathan mentioned this morning as well as he was preaching. And so it's really easy to do that, to just slip into me culture. Now, the reading we had tonight, so Deuteronomy 8, is one of the sermons in Deuteronomy which Moses delivering to the people before they kind of enter into the promised land. And just notice, so in our passage of chapter 8 that we're looking at tonight, twice he says, at the beginning and at the end of chapter 8, he says, remember the Lord. So look, just look with me, so verse 2, he says, remember, Moses is addressing the people, remember how the Lord your God led you. And then verse 18, have a look over there. But remember the Lord your God. And then right bang in the middle of our passage, verse 11, what does Moses say to the people? He says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Moses seems to think it was a big thing, a big issue that the people could slip into. And forgetting the Lord is a real danger for God's people, both then for Israel as they stood on the verge of the promised land, but also for the church today, as we, as it were, stand on the verge of the promised land of heaven. And so this passage acts as a kind of warning to us, like a siren. And I've still got my siren somewhere from a holiday club this week. Here you go. No expense spared tonight. Look at this. This is a siren. I'm going to leave that on the whole time, but this is what the passage does. It's a warning. It's a flickering light saying to us, look, this is a danger for us. Something we need to take seriously. Something we need to take evasive action even. Now, you might be sitting there tonight thinking, well, or tuning on at home and thinking, well, I'm here, aren't I? Am I really in danger of forgetting the Lord if I'm in a good place to be? Isn't that what church is about? It's remembering the Lord. And certainly it is. Gathering together is a big part of remembering the Lord and his goodness towards us. But again, if Moses thought it was essential to address God's rescued people about this danger, then it also must be a very real danger for us too. And so we're called to pay attention, to listen to the warning light, to take note of it, so that by God's grace, we can avoid the pitfalls of this danger, that we wouldn't be those who forget the Lord. So this is where we're going tonight. We're just thinking about two questions. The first is this. How can we be sure that we are remembering the Lord? Or what should characterize my life, your life, our church family, if we're going to be those who do not forget the Lord? That's kind of question number one. Question two, which will come later, was how do we spot, what are the warning signs of kind of slipping into forgetfulness of the Lord? So that's where we're going. And you'll be pleased to hear that chapter 8, I think, answers both those questions, so don't worry. So here we go. Question number one, how can we be sure that we are remembering the Lord? And the answer I want to show us really tonight from verse 1 to 10 is that remembering the Lord leads to praise for the Lord. Remembering the Lord leads to praise for the Lord, having lips and hearts that overflow with praise for him. I wonder how you remember things. Are you someone who gets loads of post-it notes, writes things down, sticks them around your house? Are you someone who has an app for kind of everything that you need to put a reminder on your phone? Are you someone who writes on your hands? I think COVID's done a lot to kind of ruin that one, because we have to wash it. Everyone washes their hands way more than they used to. So I think writing on your hands isn't the best thing to do anymore. But remembering the Lord, well, it might involve some of those things. But often more specifically, it involves looking back over our lives and seeing God's guiding and providing hand throughout, in both the good and the bad, in the easy and the hard of life. So as Moses addresses the people and he calls them to remember the Lord, he calls them to look back on God's provision in the past as a clear indication of his ongoing help. See, remembering the Lord involves remembering his gracious provision, and this leads us to praise him. So you just have a look at verse 2. So Moses says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years." See, Moses says, God led you all of the way. It wasn't part of the way. He didn't lead you kind of halfway and then give you a map and say, the promised land is just down there, take your second right, and then it's a left. No, the Lord led you all of the way. And why did the Lord lead them, or how did the Lord lead them? Well, look at verse 2, how it goes on. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I think every time I read that, I never expect it to go there. Remember how the Lord led you all this way? Oh, that's lovely. Oh, to humble you, to see what was in your hearts. See, most of us know the story of Israel and how the Lord rescued them from Egypt, and he brought them along, and he humbled them. He caused them to hunger. Why? Why did God bring them into this difficulty? Well, he did it so that he might teach them dependence on him, that they would be those who regularly call out to him for help, that they might see how he's rescued them from Egypt and then continue to provide all that they needed for all that they faced. As they look back, they would see great provision. In fact, it's kind of miraculous provision. Look at verse 4. Moses says, "Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years." It was only this morning I was chatting with a few friends off church over there, talking about how, you know, my shoes only lasted 6 months. Socks are even less. I mean, they probably didn't have socks back then, but, you know, my clothes go pretty quick. But hey, these guys, 40 years, didn't wear out. Their feet did not swell. Israel were God's chosen children who he lovingly disciplined. He trained them so they might love him and praise him in all circumstances. So Moses pointed them back to provision that was kind of behind them. But then he also says, well, look forward to provision that's coming, Israel. Have a look at verse 7 onwards. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey." How good would that have sounded if you've been in the desert for 40 years? This gushing water, this food. Verse 9, "A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." Verse 10, "When you have eaten and are satisfied," what are they to do? "Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." The Lord was providing them a fruitful land that he had promised, where they would lack nothing. He's the Lord, the great shepherd, who has provided for them and has led them through the wilderness and will continue to provide even more when they reach the promised land, which we know happens. As we read through the Bible story, we know that they get there. They get to this wonderful land full of abundance. "Remember the Lord," Moses says. "He has done all this." Remembering the Lord leads to praise. As God people look back and they look forward, then praise is the only response that they should have on their lips. Yet we know it was often grumbling. Remembering the Lord leads to praise. Looking back on God's provision to us individually and as a church, it should call us to praise him. When things go well, we should remember the Lord and praise him. When things are tough, when things are hard, when he humbles us, we should remember the Lord and praise him. It might seem a bit idealistic to say that, and you know, to praise God when we experience the hardship of life. But as we've seen, the Lord graciously humbles his people so they might depend on him more, that they might call out to him to provide. See, as I look back over my life, I think the times I felt closest to the Lord is often in the times, in the moments when I felt weakest, when he's humbled me, when things didn't go as planned, when I've seen my weakness, the flaws that he's revealed through his words. And then quite the opposite's true. The times when things have gone well has been the times I've been most in danger of forgetting him. Started to say, kind of, well done me. Now, just like Israel, the wilderness can be a tough place. And perhaps that's where you feel you're at tonight. You know, pain of life, difficult situation that you're in. And maybe that's led you to doubt God's goodness tonight. To say in your trouble, where is the Lord? But don't forget him, remember him. He uses difficult situations, the mess of our lives, the mess of our world, so that we would call on him to provide and in turn lead us to praise him. Remembering the Lord leads to praise. Now, if you're really struggling to see that again tonight or need fresh encouragement, well, we don't look back, do we, to being rescued from Egypt. We look back to our Savior who died on a cross to redeem us from our sins. We look back to our Lord Jesus who spent 40 days in the desert, tempted by Satan, and yet said, look, I would trust in the Lord alone. It was the Lord our God who provided Jesus to be the sacrifice for sins, the one to take the blame for all the times we failed to praise God as we should. And friends, if the Lord has provided for our biggest need, the forgiveness of our sins, the brokenness of our relationship with him, then he will never fail to provide for all else we need to follow him amidst persecution, amidst hardship in life. So if you're struggling tonight, remember the Lord. Remember his character. Remember his great provision for you in Christ. And if you're someone like a little bit like verse 9, who feels in this moment of, well, I lack nothing. All things are going well. Well, praise the Lord for that. And store these truths in your heart so that you will avoid the danger of forgetting him. How can we be sure we are remembering the Lord? Well, a life remembering the Lord is one full of praise. Praise should be on our lips. Is it on your lips? As you think back over this past week, as you've spoken to other Christians or other people, has praise been on your lips for our Lord God and all that he's done, in the big provisions of the cross, but in all the things that you've needed as well? Is that you? Are your lips quick to praise God for answered prayer? Remembering the Lord will lead to praise. That's kind of the answer to the first question. Second question, how do we spot someone who has begun to forget the Lord? What will characterize our life if we begin on this kind of slippery slope to forget our great God? Well, verse 11 to 20 gives us the answer. And the answer is pride. There go two P's. Remembering the Lord leads to praise. Forgetting the Lord leads to pride. Sorry. Now, we've all heard the phrase, I'm sure, pride comes before a... Very good. Or literally in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction. And this is true in all sorts of ways. So I'm sure we've all kind of come across a sports team, maybe local or kind of nationally, who are like, you know, we're the greatest, we're the best team ever. And then suddenly it all goes pear-shaped. A bit like if you're a Man United fan at the moment, nothing seems to go well. But it's, and this is a theme, okay, this idea of pride, destruction is constantly found throughout the scriptures. So you see this everywhere. So for example, King Nebuchadnezzar, found in the book of Daniel. Listen to this account. This is what Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, this great king of old. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" His speech goes on a lot longer than that, just abbreviated it. But he goes on, he's speaking about how wonderful he is, how great he is. But as you read, carry on reading that account, which you can do in Daniel, the account goes on to say that even as those words were on his lips, as he made these great boasts, a voice came from heaven to humble him. And he was driven away from people and made to live with animals and eat grass. Another example would be the disciples of our Lord Jesus at the Last Supper, when all the disciples declared, "Look, Jesus, we'll never betray you, we'll go with you to death." And yet soon after, they all abandoned him to death. See, pride is a hallmark of God forgetfulness. And pride often goes before destruction. Now, one of the signs of forgetting the Lord and being proud is seen in the rest of verse 11. Okay, so have a look at verse 11. It says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day." See, forgetting the Lord begins when we fail to observe the Lord's commands, when we turn our ears away from what he says is right and wrong. And more than that, it's forgetting that provision that we've spent some time thinking about this evening. If you forget what the Lord has done for you, in verse 14, your heart will become proud. So in fact, so tonight we're just scanning really over these verses. But in verses 14 to 18, we're reminded again of all the Lord had done for his people. If you read it, it just says, he did this, he did that. Verse 15, he led you through. Verse 16, he gave you manna. It's very clear God has done all of these things. He's done this, he's done that. So for the Israelites to become proud, it would mean them forgetting the one that had rescued them from Egypt, forgetting the one who'd graciously led them through the desert, forgetting the one who'd graciously provided all that they needed. As soon as our eyes come off the Lord and what he's done, where do they go? They go on ourselves, don't they? We look to self. Look at verse 17. "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." Moses warns the Israelites here that when good days come, don't forget the Lord. Don't become proud and make great boasts about what you've done, because actually you've done nothing. It was the Lord who provided, the Lord who rescued you, the Lord who guided you amidst all the grumbling. As you go in the land, as you prosper, as the Lord had promised, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget your roots. Remember, it's the Lord who provided. Praise is the right response, not pride. What about us? Where are we in danger, perhaps, of falling into pride? I don't think, sadly, it takes much, does it, whether we can see it or not. Maybe you lead a good Bible study, or you nail that treasure hunter's talk, or you do something good, and people come up to you and say, "Mate, that was so good, that was so helpful." And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good, isn't it, to encourage one another when we do things well. But the danger comes when we take kind of even the smallest compliment and kind of let it just stroke our ego, rather than kind of fall into our knees and saying, "Lord, thank you for using someone like me in your purpose. Thank you for helping me to deliver that talk that was useful for people." I wonder if you've ever gone through that kind of process. I mean, sometimes pride is subtle. It can kind of sneak up to you. So in your battle with sin, perhaps you win some battles with the common failing, but rather than praising the Lord and asking for his continual help, you kind of tap yourself on the back. In fact, perhaps in your fight with a particular sin, you spent more time thinking through rules and regulations of how you might beat the sin rather than on your knees praying to God for his help and provision. And then before you know it, keeping those rules are more important than obeying what God says. And we could become so legalistic that we miss the point of why we started fighting the sin in the first place. And when we do that, it's a little bit like saying, well, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, but do you know what? I've got it from here. Pride is a dangerous enemy. It starts with forgetting the Lord. But fully grown, look what it leads to. Verse 19 to 20. It leads to destruction. And verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. So it's a warning, isn't it? It's the flashing light. It's a danger. It's a watch out. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Because fully grown, that's what it leads to. It leads to destruction. It is a danger for all of us to be aware of. So how are we going to keep ourselves from this danger? Well, it'd be through praise. Remembering the Lord leads to praise. Praise for God for his great provision. How will we spot if we're falling into danger? Well, our lives will be growing in pride. That's worth pointing out that kind of both praise and pride act in kind of spirals. So the reaction of praise acts as kind of an upward spiral. The pride kind of goes downwards. So as I praise the Lord for what he's done and remember his provision, then kind of I'm full of praise for him. And as I praise him, I remember his provision. It kind of keeps going up and up and up. But if I become proud of what I've done, then begin to forget the Lord. As I forget the Lord, I become more proud. And I kind of rely on myself. Now, whichever is most prominent in our lives, praise or pride, is really for each of us to think and to weigh and to pray about. To come to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness for where we have been self-reliant, where there is pride seated in us. And to then praise him for his great provision in our lives. Now, we've seen this as a danger for all God's people. Maybe you're sitting here tonight or you're tuned in at home and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not yet a Christian, so I don't think this necessarily applies to me yet. But the danger is, you see, that all of humanity is in rebellion towards God. That's what the Bible says. And actually, pride is at the heart of that rebellion. Any time as we live life without God, as we live life our own way, thinking we don't need him, then this is a warning to us. Because pride, fully grown, leads to destruction. Without God, that is where we're heading. You might think that not being a Christian is not worth it, but listen again to the words found in verse 3. It says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. By ignoring God, you can try to enjoy the bread, as it were, for a little time, the things you have, but you will be missing out on a relationship with the one true God who provides far more than bread, who delivers on far bigger promises in this life and in the life to come. If you want to know God, then put away your pride. Call out to him to forgive you and then praise him in your heart, knowing that he's done everything possible to save you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Turn from pride and come and join in praising God. And if you're a believer here tonight, perhaps you need to repent of some pride tonight that you see rooted in your heart. My prayer for each of us as a church family is that we'd have an attitude growing like John the Baptist, who says this: Jesus must become more, I must become less. Jesus must take our praise, and as we do that, we can squash our pride. Remembering the Lord leads to praise. Forgetting the Lord leads to pride. Let's just take a moment just to reflect on that, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, please forgive us for any pride in our hearts, especially the pride that thinks we would never forget you. Lord, we live in a world, as we've been seeing in 1 Peter, we live in a world as strangers, as exiles. And Lord, we struggle so often to live your way because of the distractions around us, because it can feel isolating at times. And yet, Lord, we praise you for your great provisions for us. Thank you for your provision of the Lord Jesus to be the sacrifice needed for our sins, to be the Savior we need. Thank you for the provision of your Holy Spirit who indwells all believers and calls us to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. Thank you for the promise that you will keep us to the end as we trust in you. So Lord, please work in each of our hearts tonight. Lord, please would our lips be full of praise for you, not pride. Help us to put pride to death. Help us to slay that. Give us help to do that. Show us where we're blinded by our pride. Help us to keep looking to you. So Lord, please hear us. Please help us as we respond in song and more prayer. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.